This is Professor Blues with a pre-recorded interview with Charlottesville bluesman Corey Harris. Corey, welcome to Blues Valley, and thank you for taking time from your very busy schedule to share with me and Blues Valley listeners about your upcoming concert at Court Square Theater, Saturday, December the 4th at 7 p.m. First of all, what can we look forward to hearing and experiencing with you at Court Square Theater?
Oh, well, it's going to be a combination of electric music with my band, as well as some solo acoustic numbers, selections from my record that just came out, The Insurrection Blues, on MC Records. So a combination.
Now, I understand you have recently published a book. Will you be talking about it?
Yes, I've recently self-published a book entitled Blues People Illustrated. And it's a collection of 51 drawings, pen and ink drawings I've done of the great blues heroes and sheroes of the first part of the 20th century. So we're talking to like people like Reverend Gary Davis, Robert Johnson, Memphis Minnie, Bessie Smith, Ma Rainey, Lonnie Johnson, John Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters, you know, Willie Dixon, people like that.
Yeah.
So along with the drawings now, I also have bibliographies, you know, essays about the life of the person that you're seeing, as well as a discography. So to encourage people, especially the younger people, to go and really look and research the lives and the music of these great blues men and blues women. So yeah, that book, I'll have that. Hopefully I'll have that available. I sold out, so I'm waiting for my next shipment. But at any rate, I do have them available online. They're either at Amazon. You can just search my name and Blues People. A lot of my other works, clothing with images of some of these great blues people that we're highlighting.
I was not aware of your drawing skills, for lack of a better way of putting it, until I saw images about your book and what you did. Is this something that's new, or has that been a long part of your growing up, drawing? And
I always liked to draw. I just never did it for anything. You know, I never got any attention for it, but I always liked to draw. Yeah, since I was very young.
Mm-hmm. Well, you nailed the ones that you are featured in this book. I think that's great.
Thank you very much.
All right, now for those of our listeners who are not familiar with you, share with us some of your early experiences with music. I see that you were born and raised in Denver or near Denver, Colorado. And that's an area of the country that I don't associate with blues music, especially early Delta blues. So how did you discover the music, and what about it hooked you?
Well, you know, blues, people relate it to geography, and that's partially true, but it really relates to the culture, the people who came from the place where the blues is. You know, wherever they go, you're going to have blues. So my family, being from the South, we listen to blues. You know, my mother's from Texas, my father was from Kentucky, and you know, I had relatives in Louisiana and Arkansas and places. So yeah, that's just growing up, I didn't really have a choice. It's just what we heard around the house, you know. And not only blues, you know, jazz and R&B, and you know, my sister was quite a few years older than me, so she was listening to funk, and I got into reggae because of her as well. So yeah, that's kind of how that unfolded, you know, through the influence of community, family, you know.
At what point did you discover your interest in the guitar, and how did that develop?
Oh, I was about 12 years old when I first started playing the guitar. I always just liked it. I don't know. I heard, you know, guitar music. Like, we had ZZ Hill. Right before I got my first guitar, my folks took me to see B.B. King. I got to shake his hand. Those were formative experiences, definitely. So, yeah, just really liking the music and, you know, wanting to have some sort of instrument that I could play. And I was already a musician. I already had taken a few lessons, like on piano. I was in the school marching band. I also played violin, so I was familiar with music. I could read music, but I really wanted to play guitar.
What about the old blues, the Delta blues, that seems to have captured your heart? Why that area versus ZZ Hill and the blues and R&B that followed?
Well, it's really more my interest is not just Delta, but just acoustic blues in general, you know? So, you know, when we say Delta, that's pretty specific, you know, coming from your state. But I'm really just looking at the great blues players and emulating the work that they put out and then putting my own work out too, following that tradition. So, yeah, I would say Piedmont blues, you know, because I live in Virginia. I got a lot of Virginia roots as well. So, yeah, I'm just looking at representing the blues music, the acoustic blues music, no matter where it's from, you know. And so I just kind of listen to what I like and, you know, get influenced by it and then allow it to come out of me.
Yes, you can certainly, you have certainly shown how you have been able to take these roots and take them into and reflect them from your perspective and in your take. And I think that's great. I have tried through Blues Valley over the years to have listeners understand the foundation of blues today and the performers and their lives. Did you have any blues performers mentor you as you were growing and developing your professional interest?
Definitely. Yeah, once I started to tour out a little bit, really even before I got to be known, I got to be around Big Jack Johnson, the oil man from Clarksdale. We spent some time together. He brought me to his house and, you know, we talked. I actually went on tour with him also. So yeah, we spent some time together. He was really instrumental in giving me confidence and telling me that I could do this. Also Wesley Junebug Jefferson from Clarksdale, I spent time with him as well. He was very, you know, encouraging as well. And then, you know, once I started to get a little bit known, my first record came out, then I got offered to tour with B.B. King. So I toured with B.B. I must open up for B.B. about 75 times around the world. So that was definitely big. And, you know, when I was with him, it wasn't like we were really playing. It was mostly just talking a lot. He was just telling me stories and give me advice. He was very concerned about how we, as young brothers, navigate the industry, you know? And he would talk about the things he went through so that we didn't have to go through, you know? We were standing on his shoulders, you know? So that was good. And then R.L. Burnside, I spent time with him. We toured a few times together. Paul Wyn Jones as well, rest in peace. Taj Mahal, we did documentary film together. We did some work together as well. Quite a few people when I think about it. Clarence Gatemouth Brown, I toured with him. We never recorded together, but we toured a lot together. So yeah, but I would say as far as influence, you know, I would say BB, Taj, RL. But there's so many, you know, like I was just thinking of my friend Larry Johnson. I don't know if anyone knows about Larry Johnson from New York, but a great acoustic blues ragtime player, a student of Gary Davis for many years, really, really amazing acoustic guitar player. He was somebody who would take me under his wing and buy me a coffee and really talk to me, you know. And also Honey Boy Edwards, spent a lot of time with Honey Boy as well, you know. He told me about being touring with Charlie Patton and being with Robert Johnson the night he died. And it's those discussions really more than like sitting, because few of them I actually sat and played with, you know. Most of them was mostly talking. Some I played with RL, I played a little bit with BB, you know, but most of it was the talking, the relation of the stories, the struggle, you know.
Well, you have certainly listed the fathers of modern blues and its evolution. That is fantastic to have that. I had a chance to interview B.B. King a number of years ago when he opened up for Willie Nelson, of all people, in Jackson, Mississippi. And one of the things that he emphasized in my interview was blues in the schools. He wanted so much for students to be exposed to blues music, especially in the Deep South.
Yes, it's very necessary. It's very necessary. And you know, they got some programs doing that even now.
You have taken a deep interest in African roots of the blues. Would you share some of your experiences on that road? And you have done some traveling and extended stays, I understand.
Yes. Well, I first went to Cameroon, West Africa, in 1990. I was there for 3 months, and then I was a student at, you know, college at the time. And then after I got out of school, I went back for about 11 months. I was in Cameroon. And for a small part of that time, I was in Equatorial Guinea, which is next door to Cameroon in West Africa still. And then after that, over the years, not right away, but over the years, I would go back repeatedly, mostly because of music. And then I would, not to Cameroon, though, I would go to Guinea, Conakry, which is the capital, which is also in West Africa. Spent a lot of time in Mali, did some work with Ali Farka Touré, great singer, guitarist, songwriter, really a great, like, national treasure of Mali, you know. Also won a couple Grammys, too. You know, I think he's the only African to win two Grammys. So, yeah, I did work over there in Mali with him. I did a book about him, actually wrote a book. My first book was called Jatigi, The Life and Music of Ali Farka Touré. That's also on Amazon. So, yeah, and then other places, Sierra Leone, I did some work over there. Morocco, I've been to several times. I've also did with the band now. We went to Rwanda several years ago with Peanut and the band. Yeah, also visited Ethiopia and things. So really, the whole idea, you know, is just to for us to be acquainted with who we are, you know, to search out our roots. Just if I were Irish, then I would be going to Dublin or Cork or Galway, you know, if I was Scottish, you know. So it's all about just being aware of who we are and being aware of our traditions and continuing them, continuing the best of our traditions, whatever they may be, so that we can share them with the world. Because, you know, we all got specific traditions that we come from that are unique, you know, and I think we would all agree that they should be saved. The best of those traditions should be saved, you know, the cultural traditions, you know, the spiritual traditions, you know, as long as that they're moving people forward, you know. So
I understand that. And I feel that you integrate those experiences into your music today, do you not?
Well, I try. You know, I just try and have big ears and share with people what I'm experiencing and what I'm dealing with, you know, because that's really what artists are supposed to do at the end of the day.
I agree with you, especially musicians and songs that they write. Now, it's my understanding that you're seeking an advanced degree at UVA. So what's going on with that?
I'm in school at University of Virginia in the music department because, well, for many reasons, I realized that there's really not very many black people who are in the industry writing about the music. Most oftentimes, it's people who don't or who may have an idea of the culture but really don't have, like, a connection to the extent that it would really represent what I'm talking about, you know? So yeah. That's really one of my main things is being able to write about the music, to represent the music from a perspective of the culture and for a love of the culture, you know, from the inside. And then also just, you know, I'm getting older, you know, I'm over 50 now, and I'm not really trying to be running around on the road until I'm 85.
You gotcha.
Know? So I would like to be able to, you know, share what I've learned in a different context, not only at the higher levels of education, but also with the youth. So that's what I'm engaged in right now.
That's great. Congratulations on your MacArthur Genius Grant Award. That certainly speaks volumes about you, your music, and accomplishments as an individual. How has this award impacted you as you look at challenges ahead?
Oh, well, in general, it has given me encouragement to continue the works and realize that it affects people and that it has a positive impact. Even the small things, you know, when you look back and see things that you've done that accumulated to make something greater, you know, you realize even the little stuff makes a difference, you know. So just encouraged me to keep on with the program.
Well, Corey, thank you for your time, your dedication to music, American and international, and the enjoyment as well as the challenges your recordings and research give us. I'll be emceeing your event at Court Square Theater, so I look forward to meeting you and hearing what you have to share with all of us. So thank you
I'm
so much.
I'm looking forward to it. And thank you very much
hey, I appreciate
for the great
it.
Questions. And have a good day.